In a news conference last week, the Racine County Sheriff's Department raised suspicions about voting in nursing homes during the pandemic, but didn't recommend any criminal charges to date. The department said that some Racine residents think their loved ones who live in a nursing home didn't have the cognitive ability to vote and feel like their loved ones may have been taken advantage of. But disability rights advocates say whether a person can exercise their constitutional right is up to them and can only be restricted by a court ruling. We're taking a closer look at how voting works in nursing homes and how to make voting more accessible for people living with disabilities. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about how voting in nursing homes works? Are you a nursing home resident yourself, or do you have a loved one in a care facility? If so, what was the voting process like there? Or if you work in one, love to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Barbara Beckert is Director of External Advocacy for Southeast Wisconsin at Disability Rights Wisconsin. She's also the director of the group's Milwaukee office. Barbara, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, a big part of this story is the Special Voting Deputy Program. Can you tell us what that is and how it works?
Sure. Happy to fill you in on that. So Wisconsin has a program to allow support for voters who live in care facilities, nursing homes, or other care facilities like group homes, adult family homes, and so on. And that calls for special voting deputies to be sent to qualified facilities to administer absentee ballots for facility residents who are eligible and who are registered to vote. And there is a lot of detail that goes behind that. So for example, for a care facility to be eligible to receive a visit from special voting deputies, they need to have at least 5 residents who are already registered to vote, 1 resident who has an absentee ballot request on file. And if they don't have those things in place, special voting deputies will not visit. That's why it's important that care facility staff have the ability to help support voters and to help support their residents with voting.
Yeah, if I live in a care facility, I could still just request an absentee ballot and mail it in just like anybody else could, right?
Yeah, well, the way that it works is that special voting deputies are required to make 2 visits to a care facility. They don't always get to see all of the residents. So if you don't vote with the special voting deputy, then your absentee ballot application and have an absentee ballot application on file, then your ballot is supposed to be sent to you after the SVDs have made the required 2 visits. So yes, you can vote in a care facility without support from a special voting deputy.
How much difficulty did the pandemic add to the situation of voting from these care facilities?
It created tremendous difficulty, and a great deal of time and deliberation was put into how to ensure that 2 things were addressed. Both the voting rights of care facility residents, including nursing homes, and their health, their right to life, because these were the most vulnerable individuals. So when special voting deputies visit, they must visit twice. There are 2 of them, along with the special voting deputies, partisan observers accompany them, and family members are also allowed to observe. So that's a number of individuals. If special voting deputies had been dispatched, these individuals would have had to go into nursing homes where the most vulnerable individuals live, the most vulnerable to COVID-19 and the highest death rate. They would have needed to go into these facilities 2 times during the pandemic and to be in pretty intimate contact with people. When you're assisting people to vote, particularly if they're individuals who may be low vision or blind or not have the ability to complete a ballot for themselves because they have limited use of their hands, you have to be in pretty close contact. So those were the decisions that our policymakers at the Wisconsin Election Commission agonized over, and that we agonized over as disability advocates, because we're concerned. We want to ensure that care facility residents have the right to vote, but we also want to make sure that their health and their lives are not endangered. And ultimately, I think the consensus was that sending in special voting deputies and putting them in close proximity to these vulnerable individuals would put their lives at risk, and that that was not a safe, humane, or prudent thing to do during the pandemic.
Barbara Beckert is with us from Disability Rights Wisconsin. We're looking at access to voting for people who live in various kinds of care facilities, including nursing homes, after accusations from the Racine County Sheriff's Office that the Wisconsin Elections Commission got it wrong with how they handled voting in nursing homes, a particular nursing home in that county. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your experiences with the issue. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. I want to listen to some of the press conference from the Racine County Sheriff's Department last week. This is Sergeant Michael Lewell.
I want to be very careful here. People have a right to vote. People have varying degrees of understanding, and I get that. And people who, you know, you don't need a PhD to vote, all right? But these loved ones believe their loved ones had such cognitive difficulties that they would not have had the ability to request a ballot and exercise their right to vote.
So what role are family members allowed to play, if any, in a loved one's voting in a care facility?
Yeah, that's a good question. So first of all, in Wisconsin, the standard for the capacity to vote is minimal, capable of understanding the objective of the elective process is a standard that is in our state constitution. There's no cognitive standard that's imposed on people not alleged to be incompetent. So people can only lose the right to vote due to allegations of incompetency that have been contested in our court system, either through guardianship or by a standalone petition. And that means that family members do not have the ability or the right to say that someone is not able to vote. And I know that's sometimes confusing. If the family member is a guardian and the person has lost their right to vote, then the family member does have a role to play. They can ensure that the facility and the person are aware of this and have a copy of the guardianship papers. If it's a family member of a person with some impairment, they may be present if the person consents when the individual votes. You should always ask the person if he or she wishes to vote privately or not. They have the same right to vote privately, just as you or I do. So it's up to the voter to decide who can assist them in voting. But many people might want a family member to assist them by being present. And just to be clear, the individual who is assisting them, whether it's a staff member, a family member, or someone else, may only assist them as the voter directs. It is illegal to coerce someone in any way about how they should vote or to complete the ballot on their behalf. And that's sometimes confusing for family members. At Disability Rights Wisconsin, we have a voter hotline, and we've been contacted before by family members who indicate, my family member who has a cognitive disability is confused about who they want to vote for. So I'm going to be completing the ballot for them with who I think they should vote for. That's against the law. That's not okay.
Well, and it sounds like some of the concern in Racine County, Barbara, is that family members might be worried that if a care facility person is helping with that vote, they're worried that maybe their loved one is being exploited here, that they think the person, their loved one, wouldn't be able to fill this out. They're worried that the care facility person is making that decision for them. How do we make sure that that kind of exploitation doesn't happen?
Well, as an advocate for people with disabilities and older adults, I'm the first one to be concerned if people are being coerced in any way and if staff members are inappropriately filling out a ballot. Their role is to complete the ballot as directed by the voter, if the voter requests assistance, and to assist them in any way that's needed. I can tell you that the Wisconsin Election Commission provided extremely detailed guidance to care facility members on the process that should be followed with voter registration, absentee voting, completing the ballot, witnessing it, and any kind of accommodations. For example, if someone does need help completing a ballot and request that, again, perhaps someone is low vision, blind, doesn't have use of their hands, they are legally entitled to get assistance completing their ballot. They may request that, and there's also a requirement that the assister sign their name on the absentee ballot, so it is documented that they have received assistance.
We're talking to Barbara Beckert, Director of External Advocacy for Southeast Wisconsin at Disability Rights Wisconsin. We're talking about voting accessibility for people living in care facilities, including nursing homes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about what's allowed and not allowed to help nursing home residents vote? Do you work in some kind of care facility in Wisconsin? How has voting worked where you work? And if you are one of the voters we're talking about, if you live in some kind of assisted care facility, love to hear your perspective at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our look at voting in nursing homes and other care facilities during the pandemic. Barbara Beckert with Disability Rights Wisconsin stays with us, and you can join in with your thoughts, your questions about how this works, maybe your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to your calls now. Melanie is with us in Madison. Melanie, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Melanie?
Well, I want to talk about this concept of cognitive impairment that seems to be being tossed around. It's sort of like the assumption that everyone who lives in a nursing home is cognitively impaired. I had the guardianship of my brother who lived in a nursing home with a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And when the guardianship was established, I specifically asked the judge that he continued to be able to continue to have his voting rights, which she agreed with, until near his death. Although you couldn't understand him very well in his spoken word, he couldn't walk. But until near his death, he remained very alert, very interested in the news, very interested in what was going on. So just because a person has a diagnosis like Parkinson's, MS, ALS, all of these diagnoses that are neurological diagnoses, they may affect a certain part of the brain, but not the total brain. And so the person continues to be alert, continues to be knowledgeable in reasoning and so forth and so on. So I think that before people begin to assume that everybody who lives in a nursing home is cognitively impaired and should not be able to vote, they should understand a little bit more about how the brain is and how it works. I would also comment with regard to visual problems that people have. If the state of Wisconsin was in compliance with the ADA guidelines on having a ballot that can be completed on the computer, they would not have to give so much help to visually impaired people, because visually impaired people are very technically alert and use computers all the time. And so they could do this kind of ballot, and many states have it, but Wisconsin is not in compliance. And I would suggest that in some of the legislatures who are so busy trying to take advantage of vulnerable people spend their time at ensuring that this state is in compliance with federal law.
Melanie, thanks for the call. A lot to work with there. Barbara, first of all, Melanie's first point, not to assume that everybody in a care facility is cognitively impaired to the point where they couldn't vote.
Yeah, great points by Melanie. As she said, a medical diagnosis does not disqualify a person from voting. So Parkinson's, Alzheimer's disease, traumatic brain injury, other types of cognitive impairment do not disqualify a person from being eligible to vote. And I think her points are so important, because we see often people with cognitive impairments or elderly people experience discrimination, and that they really have to aggressively assert their right to vote. And that shouldn't be the case.
And Melanie also mentioned visual impairments and accessibility. And I think that's something your organization is also looking for, Barbara.
Yes. Wisconsin is kind of an outlier in this regard. a growing number of states are providing voters with disabilities with the option of a screen reader accessible Americans with Disabilities Act compliant absentee ballot, and that allows equitable access to absentee voting for voters with blindness, vision, or other disabilities who don't have the ability to physically mark the ballot and need assistive technology. I've heard some really concerning stories from individuals who are blind and want to be as independent as possible, and they're very reluctant to have to ask someone else to fill out their absentee ballot. They don't feel confident that they know how that person is completing the ballot on their behalf. And Wisconsin needs to step up and join the growing number of other states who have become in compliant with the ADA, you know, which has been around for 31 years now, and offered the ability for an accessible absentee ballot.
Melanie, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Hope in Milwaukee. Hope, hello.
Hi, thanks very much for answering my call. I agree with Melody about not everybody with certain disabilities are incapable of making decisions. And I, as an individual, don't have the right to make that decision for anybody else. I found there's huge barriers for people in nursing homes, and it worries me greatly that we would be taking away somebody's right to vote just because they end up in a nursing home for whatever reason that is, and just because somebody has a diagnosis of a cognitive disability, or people assume, maybe by the way they're talking due to a stroke, that they're not able to make decisions. And in America, I think voting is a big one, and people should not lose their right, again, because they end up in a nursing home.
Hope, thanks a lot for the call. Barbara, are there other obstacles for people in nursing homes or other care facilities, apart from the access to special voting deputies that we've been talking about? Are there other hurdles you'd like to help take out of the way here?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, people who live in nursing homes and care facilities are often very isolated. So it's actually important that staff have the opportunity and the training, because voting can be complicated. So they should have the necessary information so that they can offer their residents the option. Are you registered to vote? Do you need to change your address because you just moved from another location to this facility? Do you want to have an absentee ballot application on file? So providing that support by care workers is critical. And without that, care facility residents will be disenfranchised. For those who live in the community, some of the barriers that we see have to do with accessibility. A number of our polling places are not accessible. The Wisconsin Election Commission does have an accessibility audit program, but with the thousands of polling places in Wisconsin, it's very small. We'd like to see our policymakers provide more funding for that program. And transportation is another significant barrier because so many people are non-drivers.
Thanks for that call, Hope. We'll go to Judy now in Milwaukee. Judy, hello.
Hi there. I appreciate this conversation. Thank you. I was a director of nursing for 20-some-odd years, and voting is a hot topic in long-term care facilities. I think one of the issues that families don't necessarily understand that an activation of a healthcare power of attorney does not eliminate an individual's rights to vote. It doesn't even eliminate their individual right to make decisions. And there is, I think, in general, a huge misunderstanding of individual rights in long-term care facilities. I apologize if I missed just now because I was talking to your intake person. But the other thing with actually going to a polling place for people who live in facilities, that was the new voter ID laws. That is really challenging. If you have someone who's lived in a facility for years, they don't have a Wisconsin ID, they don't have a driver's license, they don't have a utility bill. proof of ID is extremely difficult and really discriminatory towards individuals who are living in facilities because they need help with their physical or sometimes cognitive care.
Thanks a lot for the call, Judy. Not a lot of time left, but Barbara, I know you are also focusing on voter ID for people in care facilities. Are there changes you'd like to see made?
Yeah, Wisconsin has the most restrictive photo ID law in the country, and this affects people in the community even more than people in care facilities. So many people with disabilities are non-drivers. While Wisconsin does have a free photo ID card for voting available from DMV locations, you need transportation to get there. And that's very problematic, especially for people who need accessible transportation or who live in rural areas. So we would like to see other options offered. For example, a number of states offer the option of an affidavit of affirmation in lieu of photo ID. It can include the elector's residential address, date of birth, and they sign a statement affirming their identity. There are a number of states like Idaho, South Carolina, South Dakota, Delaware, Connecticut, and others who offer this option. So it's time for Wisconsin to revisit our photo ID policy and the restrictions that it opposes, which disenfranchise many voters with disabilities and older adults.
Barbara, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Barbara Beckert with Disability Rights Wisconsin, looking at voting accessibility issues for people living in care facilities.